Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast, the podcast that encourages you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, my very special guest is Pastor Caleb Cooper of the New Hope Revival Church in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And Pastor Cooper has been on my podcast before, and as I recall, gotten a lot of downloads. So I'm so happy to be able to talk to him today. And we're going to talk about what's going on in our country. We're going to look at it from a spiritual point of view. You know, so many people are trying to get clarity. And I just felt that Caleb Cooper can help us get clarity because he was actually up in Washington when a lot of these happened on January 5th. So you want to stay tuned to hear what he has to say.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Caleb. I appreciate you fitting me into your schedule. And before I start, I am holding in my hands a very nice Christmas card that says, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Love, Caleb, Erica, Isabella, and Caleb Titus." And it is the most handsome family I think I've ever seen. You and your lovely wife and your two kids. I was, you know, it's not fair that one family would be so good looking, but thank you for sending me that card. And I just thought I would start by adding that little personal thing. So, we've talked before about what's going on in the country, and you're very passionate about it. That's what I like about you, and I think originally the first podcast I did with you is when you were having to kind of stand up to authorities in New Mexico about even being able to hold church. And then you actually did an op-ed for us on what happened in Washington, D.C. You drove all the way from New Mexico up to Washington, along with a lot of other people, and then there was that unrest, and you were at the Capitol. So why don't we start by you just kind of rehearsing some of what you saw, and then I want to move into what I said in the opening about people need clarity, and I need to find out from you as a pastor and a spiritual leader what you believe God is doing in this hour.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a blessing to be able to dialogue together. And just to kind of pick up where we left off from a previous podcast, you know, and then we'll kind of move into, hopefully together, we can find a place of somewhat of a clarity in this nation. But, you know, we went to the Capitol. I couldn't get it out of my spirit, man. I heard Holy Spirit say, go. We dropped everything, got in the vehicle. We went, we got there, and there's so many different perspectives. I think you brought up last time, kind of an idea of, you used the elephant as an example of so many different perspectives. And I like to think of it like the Gospels. You know, you can't get a full picture of anything concerning the life of Jesus without taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and beginning to dissect those. And then I think there's a clarity that comes. And since that day, you know, so much has come out on the news. You know, whether or not you can believe this, that, or the other, we don't know. I was just willing to dialogue with you about being an eyewitness of what I had seen. And what I saw, to me, was very clear. There was many patriots across the backside of the Capitol, so many of them just really wanting their voice to be heard. Now, we know that evil always tries to intertwine itself and paint a different picture. But from my perspective, I saw prayer warriors, I saw worshipers, I saw the appeal to heaven flag, and I saw a generation that was crying out, "We just want our voice heard. We want to know for sure that there's not fraudulent activity." That seemed to be the mindset concerning the election. From what I saw, I didn't see people that were wanting to tear down the Capitol. I saw individuals, Americans, patriots, Christians, people that just wanted to be heard. And so in the process, there was the preaching of the gospel, there was worship taking place, there was prayer, and then there were patriots that were shouting, "USA." I heard the sound of, I mentioned in a previous podcast, just, you know, the national anthem going forth as many broke out, thousands to sing that song. And so that's just a slight recap of what I saw from the backside.
And I just respect you so much for hearing from the Holy Spirit that you should go and be involved. You know, on other podcasts, and in fact, in my books, I talked about how there were prophetic voices going all the way back to Kim Clement in 2006, 2007, saying that God was going to raise up a disruptor. I think he described him as someone who would love him like King David did. We can only speculate that you know, that's, he was referring to Donald Trump, but I think it's pretty clear he was. Kim Clement said that this person would win two terms. And then as the election rolled around, there were a number of other prophetic voices until it was almost unanimous in our circles that people were saying that Donald Trump was going to win. And then when there became, you know, an election night, when in seven key states, they shut down counting the ballots about 10 or 11 at night. And by next morning, they had found boxes full of, in one instance, I hope I'm remember this correctly, like 100,000 votes, and every single one of them was marked for Joe Biden. And many of them had no other votes, you know, lower on the ballot. Well, to me, that is just open and shut evidence of fraud. I mean, a child could understand that. You don't have to be a lawyer. And you know, maybe I'm exaggerating and I'm probably remembering it a little bit wrong if anyone's wanting to pick apart what I'm saying. But there were just so many examples of that. And then the prophets were saying, well, God's going to come through at the last minute. You know, as people said, it was going to be like parting of the Red Sea. And of course, that didn't happen. So now the prophets are going around doing mea culpa, you know, and apologizing for being wrong. You know, I believe that they did perceive that Donald Trump would win. What concerns me is that no voices were predicting how it would be stolen or the unrest that happened at the Capitol. You know, the other side, especially the media, seems to have some kind of narrative. You know, the same people that overlooked all of the violence with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you know, made this on the same level as a civil war. Some of them were using that kind of rhetoric. You know, time will tell as this winds its way through the court system and as investigations happens exactly what happened. But the result is that there's an awful lot of disillusioned people, especially Christians. We already feel under assault, have for years. It was almost like there was a respite while Donald Trump was in office, and, you know, that maybe we were making a little bit of progress, and then all these people were pinning their hopes. In fact, as I've described this before, I believe a lot of the prophecies were wishful thinking, almost like we say sometimes in our circles or in church circles, positive confession, sort of speaking those things that be not as though there were, which is what Romans said about Abraham. So, you know, these people are disillusioned. At the same time, there are people that don't believe in the prophetic, that don't like us, that are throwing bricks. So what are Christians to do now?
Right. Well, you know, I'm only one voice and one perspective in this, and I certainly invite other perspectives that may listen to this podcast in the future. You know, this isn't to really disagree with any one person. You know, from my perspective, Steve, this is just my perspective. You know, when we consider all the prophecies that's been laid out on the table that many are still running with, some have dropped and some have repented of, and all the activity that's taken place, in my mind, I just came to a simple conclusion. Hey, listen, if someone prophesied that President Donald J. Trump would be inaugurated January 20th, you know, 2021, obviously that didn't happen. If they prophesied that Joe Biden would never be president of the United States, that didn't happen. So I think that's a place where we've got to address these issues. The flip side to this is if there's other prophecies out there that does prepare the way for God Almighty, not man, but God to step on the scene and overthrow the potential fraudulent activity, because we know that if evil is at play here, if something was unrighteously gained, we still have to trust that the hand of God still reserves the right to move at any way, in any way, shape, or form he'd like. And some would say, but you would never see someone unseated. Well, I never thought the churches would be closed down in 2020. I never thought the globe would be shut down. I mean, restaurants everywhere. We've seen things. The Lord, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, son, things happened in 2020 that no one believed would ever happen. So can a man be unseated? If God decides to unseat a man, he's God. And so we've got to let some prophecies that aren't so direct and doesn't have a date on them, at least an opportunity to breathe. With that said, we're not trying to move into false hope. We're not trying to give people false hope. I just think that God has shown us that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and he reserves the right to govern, guard, and guide America, and he really don't need our permission, but he does need our prayers going up and contending for the God of heaven to move. And so that's just one perspective. So
well,
a few
I think
other thoughts, but I'll let you speak to it.
I think that's an important perspective, which is why we're having this brief podcast to talk about it. And of course, God's word is true in whatever season. And there have been many times in, you know, the last 2,000 years where Christians have been under enormous attack. And God's word was always true. It isn't like God's word is true if everything is smooth sailing and things are going in our direction. And one of the things that God's word says is all things work together for good. And we have to wonder what the good is. But, you know, with the nation of Israel, you know, the Jews experienced what is undoubtedly the worst Holocaust in history. There have been other Holocausts. In fact, I heard a kind of a expert on history and Jewish history say that there was a Holocaust around 72 AD when the temple was destroyed and the Jews were dispersed around the world, that there were a very large number. I don't want to say the number because I don't really remember, but that when you look at what the population was back in that era, that was really the first Holocaust. It's just never really been given that name. But the Holocaust that happened in World War II is really what caused the United Nations, which was newly formed, the nations of the world, to say that the Jewish people needed their own homeland. And, you know, there are some who think that that's very controversial, but Orthodox rabbis will tell you that there's three different places in what we call the Old Testament where it very specifically says God allows everything, both good and bad. And, you know, it's hard for us as humans to understand that, but, you know, that was something good that came out of it, because it's very possible that Israel would never have been born as a state if that horrible thing hadn't happened. So one of the things that I hear people starting to talk about is predicting a new Great Awakening. Of course, that could be wishful thinking too, you know, that, but the Jesus movement of the late 60s and early 70s came at a very, very difficult time in our nation's history. Assassinations, riots, both having to do with the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., but also the Vietnam War. A whole generation seemed to be on drugs. It was my generation. I mean, I can remember the unrest, and out of that came the Jesus movement. So do you see that happening, or is there anything good that could come out of this?
Well, one of the things I sense, Holy Spirit, you know, making an attempt to teach us all, and I fall in this category as well. I don't exempt myself, Steve. But we know that the Word of God is a two-edged blade. It's double-edged. It swings both ways. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. But it's got to be swung with two sides. And I've always tried to preach messages from that perspective, because I'll give you an example. When they wanted to shut our church down, I had many pastors saying to me, listen, don't be rebellious. Romans 13, you know, you've got to submit to governing authorities. And I said, that's one side of the blade. But right now they're violating the Word of God. And so I've got to move to Acts 5:29 that says I'm going to obey God over man. And so it's both and. We need to do Romans 13, but we need to do Acts 5:29. Now we have on the table in 2021 prophecies that's been released where we've got a whole movement of people saying it is time to judge the prophecies, judge the charismatic movement. I'm all for judging prophecies, but I'm also for the double-edged blade of 1 Timothy 1:18-19 that says, I charge you, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare. And so that reveals, you know, we know that Timothy had the faith that was given through his grandmother Lois on his life, but he still had to wage war with those prophecies. So I think we're at a place in the body of Christ where we've got to make some decisions here. You know, is all prophecy automatic, or is prophecy still contingent upon man's obedience? Now, some would say, well, it's automatic, but all of us would have to admit that we have prophecies over our lives that require us to get up in the morning, obey. I've got prophecies. None of them are automatic. I've got to get up and do the word. Jesus was the word made flesh. And so at the end of the day, there was prophecies in the Old Testament. He was coming. Well, guess what? He had to come. He had to endure some things. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. And then there was a place, we know, that Jesus, right before the cross, if it's your will, you know, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. And so surrender and obedience, we know that that's how we deal with the enemy. So to me, the greatest weapon we have is to obey God. If we're going to unseat darkness, if we're going to overthrow the enemy, we got to submit to God, resist the devil. He flees. Now, we know that we've got word of God that says we've got authority over the enemy, but Jesus actually had to unleash the word of God and fight the enemy from that place of just being, you know, surrendered to it, living it, you know, walking it out. And so I see Holy Spirit teaching a generation that you can't just take one scripture and run with it and make that the anthem of your life, that we've got to learn the heartbeat of heaven. We got to study the patterns of God and how he responded to evil and darkness in the word of God, and then look for him to respond the same way. I am troubled by the idea that many would think that there could be so much fasting, so much prayer globally, not just America, but across the globe, and it warrants no response from God. I don't know that that's biblical, at least from what I've looked at in the word of God. I know that if my people who are called by my name, and some would say, well, we need to repent. Well, what have we been doing? I mean, the church has been on their faces. They've been fasting. They've been praying. So to shut off prophecy and not wage war with it. Now, again, some that have dates and some of these things, we need to address them. We need to judge prophecy. But we need to be open to the sure word of God, which is the Bible that swings both ways, that needs to line up with prophecy. So,
well, that was very well said. And earlier in the podcast, you alluded to other perspectives that we didn't really get around to. So as I give you the last word, just share anything that's on your heart.
Well, Steve, I just encourage every listener today, everyone that's going to listen to this podcast, one thing I'm certain of is the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of God is going to stand forever. And I think we're really reaping the effects in a generation of a lack of Bible being taught from certain pulpits. I'm not going to say many, because who knows, but we have all seen a downgrade in the ability of the pulpits to be secured with the full truth and counsel of God's word. So I want to encourage every listener, get in the word of God. I mean, if you're going to spend more time judging the prophecies than we are in the word of God, that's a frightening place. There's some sure things God has said. And one is this, the John 1, in him was life, and his life became the light of man. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness was unable to overcome, overthrow, or master the light. And so we're seeing darkness in America. I still believe that light shines in the darkness, and darkness will be unable to master the light that's in the glorious church of Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you so much for that perspective. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for standing strong for godly principles during a very, very difficult time. I know there are listeners that resonate with this, and you know people who should hear this podcast. I encourage you to share it and go on iTunes and leave us a review. That actually helps our rank. I don't know exactly how they do it, but apparently part of the ranking of podcast is, you know, how many reviews are out there. I'll just mention, since we just passed a milestone, that my podcast passed over 9 million. In fact, it's up to 9.4 million downloads. 6 million of it was last year. The first couple years were pretty small. So I thank the listeners, because it's people who come back every day to hear the Strang Report and share it with friends that have made it grow. So thank you to Pastor Caleb Cooper. Thank you to for listening today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.